border. We had no power. I think we've a bit of power now.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Hello and you're very welcome along to the latest episode of the Warriors GAA podcast for you, the 42 members. I'm Fintan O'Toole, this is episode 24, and this week we are going back to 1990 as we mark the 30th anniversary of Cork's historic double win when they landed the All-Ireland Senior Football and Hurling titles that September. Now the Hurlers defeated Galway in their final, the Footballers beat Meath in their decider, and we're joined this week by Niall Cathalan from that football team to take a trip down memory lane with us. Before we get into the chat with Niall, a quick bit of housekeeping. If you've any suggestions for future Warriors episodes or guests you'd like to hear us talk to, we'd love to hear from you. You can email sport@the42.ie or you can tweet us at warriors_GAA and at FOTool13. Thanks as always to you, the 42 members, for your continued support of what we do. It's hugely appreciated. And we hope you enjoyed last week's special episode we brought you, focusing on the AFL, where Nicholas Walsh interviewed Laois native Zach Toohey for us, after Zach's brilliant achievement in becoming only the second Irish player to reach 200 AFL appearances. Okay, let's drive on with this week's episode of the Warriors podcast with Cork's Niall Cathalan.
This afternoon as Cork play in their fourth successive final, seeking to complete the All-Ireland double, hurling and in football.
So Niall Cathalan joins us this week on the Warriors podcast. Niall, thanks a lot for coming along.
Not a problem, Vinton.
We might start, Niall, with a bit of information on the great fundraiser that has been done this week to mark the 30th anniversary of Cork's All-Ireland double win. And your family has a bit of a direct role in bringing this to fruition.
The whole thing probably started innocently enough, you know, as most things do, you know. And I suppose 30 years ago, Cork won a double All-Ireland, which I think was 100 years before that. And the likelihood is it'll go on again, you know what I mean, for the bones of 100 again, you know. And because of the lockdown, because of, you know, what has gone on, no function, no nothing. And I think a good friend of mine, James O'Connor in Cost Plus Tires, and a fellow, Derek McCarthy, kind of half mooted this a number of weeks ago. And I think my own Connor then got involved in it, and it started with a couple of innocent tweets, and all of a sudden it grew legs and then became huge. And they've tied up with Marymount as the main beneficiary from this, as Cork goes red on the 16th of September, which 16th of September 1990 was the actual date of the All-Ireland football final. And it gained momentum, and in fairness to Paula McGovern in Marymount, Sinead O'Keefe in the Cork County Board, and you know what I mean, a number of people, the Tomás Mulcahy's, the Tony Nations, Sean O'Brien's, you know what I mean, Ted Owens, there's people like this that were involved in the Car de Corky, you know, have rode in behind it. So they're all action for Cork goes red on Wednesday. We haven't been able to have, as I say, a get-together or a function or whatever, an outing. But hopefully people will go online or make their text, and that Marymount will benefit from this.
Do you enjoy kind of looking back and the reminiscing? I mean, I know you would have had the... you would have been the Jubilee team in 2015, so you got to come together in Croke Park. But is it nice at times like this to, I suppose, look back and maybe better be able to appreciate now what you achieved and what the county achieved maybe than you perhaps knew at the time?
Over time you appreciate it more. When it happened at the time, we probably, you know, Ireland was a very different place, and what have you. Over time, you certainly, I think, you appreciate it more, and that you know you have Teddy McCarthy, one in a million, that in millions that pulled off the hurling and the football the same year. Dennis Walsh was involved in both panels as well, played with the hurling and was a panel member with the football. You know, so for the two of these guys, you know what I mean, to look back in it must be marvellous. For me to look back in it as being just a part of the football panel, you know, over time you probably realize what, you know, what we did achieve was something very, very special. At the time, I don't think we did realize.
Because I guess, Niall, to take you back to the start of the 1990 season, for you and the footballers, I mean, you were coming back off the back of the victory in 1989. Was that just a big relief to have finally maybe got over the line, considering that you had been pushing so hard and you had gone so close in the previous seasons?
Yeah, we just came up short. Well, we came up a good bit short in 87, in fairness. Now, Meath were had been on the road previous year in 86. Meath were very unfortunate. Kerry were All-Ireland champions in 86. Meath were actually very unfortunate against Kerry in that All-Ireland semi-final. They conceded, if I'm not mistaken, two soft goals that actually made the difference. Kerry went on and won in All-Ireland. And all of a sudden, you know, a year later, we were there, but we were facing Meath in All-Ireland final. And I think they probably had the edge in us that they had, you know what I mean, their age profile, everything. They were a bit more mature. And in 87, I'd have to say, you know what I mean, we were probably, you know, they were better placed than us. 88 was a bit unfortunate. We should have beaten them in the drawn game. The replay, they were just the better team in the replay, in fairness. And they had gone down to 14 men before half time. But I suppose then 89, then we steamrolled through again to a final. Meet messed up in Leinster and didn't get out. And we had Mayo in a final. And again, Mayo really put it up to us the same day. And I think, Lord of Mercy and John Cairns, there was one instance where I think it was Anthony Finnerty that he actually turned the ball just around the upright on the canal end. Had that gone in, you know, at that time we'd have been in a fair battle right to the end. But I think if we go to 90, from our point of view, you know, we had actually matured a little bit more again. And I think the defining moment in 90 was we had played Meath in I'm not too sure, it was a league semi-final or a quarter-final in Croke Park.
Yeah, on Easter Sunday in 1990, yeah.
And that was a time when they brought in the four quarters. The league format was that you had the four. We nearly have that now with the water break. But in 1990, they brought in the four quarters for the National League as a kind to test it out. And believe it or not, you know, we felt we were ready. Me beat us comfortably the same day. You know what I mean? They were better. You know, they were. I'm not saying they were better prepared, but you know, I felt we had a great chance that day in Croke Park, and they accounted for us easy enough. But I think it was after that game was the defining moment that. As the week in the dressing room afterwards, and as the weeks went on, you know, our whole sights were set on getting back to an All Ireland final, and hopefully Meath were going to do us a favour and get there as well. And I think that year, I think we beat Kerry in a Munster final by 17 or 18 points. Like Colm O'Neill shot the lights out and scored 11 or 12 points the same day.
Paul McGrath turning neatly. Feeding it into Colm O'Neill. Players waiting inside. A tight angle and a magnificent point. It's an afternoon to remember so far for Colm O'Neill. He's just kicked his eighth point.
Progressed into the All-Ireland final. I think we lost Colm midway through the first half. And I think had we not been focused the way we were focused and prepared the way we had prepared, I think it would have knocked other ones out, and we went into the dressing room at halftime, and you know it like we were still, you know, we couldn't get out of that dressing room fast enough to kind of start the second half, and get on with it, and I think had we not matured that little bit, had we not been terribly focused. And I think we would have genuinely, it would have been a disappointment if we had not gotten one more crack off of me, to be honest. I still believe had Cullum stayed on the field, I think we'd have beaten Meath comfortably, you know. However, there was only 2 points in it in the end. Could it have gone anyway right to the end? Yes, it could. But, you know, that thing at 5-5 on Sunday evening at 16th of September, you know what I mean? That was our goal.
Just to take you back to that Kerry game you mentioned, and like we'll talk maybe about the Meath relationship in a moment, but I mean, it's fair to say Cork had suffered a lot at the hands of the Kerry team. It had definitely turned by then. I mean, the final score in that 1990 Munster final was 2-23 to 1-11. And I think there's a great story told about the late John Corcoran standing up in the stand and saying to shut the gates, because it's fair to say that this was a win that I'd say Cork supporters savoured after years of kind of looking at Kerry win, Munsters and all Ireland's all around them.
Oh, absolutely. And I was there at the end of those beatings. I was, as a young lad in my teens, going to Munster finals. You know, you were going in hope to Killarney, or you were going in hope to Páirc Cheeve, and you know what I mean? You were on your way home saying you'd never again go. But your luck, you know, came July the following year and Shirali wanted to go again. But like, I suppose we were a small bit unfortunate in Cork, and that time it was winner take all. And like, no one can argue that Kerry have been the standard bearers. They genuinely have. And it just was unfortunate for decades and years that you know, you invariably ended up playing Kerry in a Munster final. And, you know, there was a while when I was in my late teens and coming into my early 20s, like, that was probably the greatest Kerry machine of all times. And we just happened to come up against them. And I suppose for us as players or whatever, it was actually great to be in a Cork team that was able to turn the tables completely on them. And you could, you know what I mean, with 20, quarter of an hour to go, 20 minutes to go, you know, it was ball burst, game over, you know. And Lord of Mercy and John Carker, and I could see how John would have been. You know, he was going longer than what I was going at the end of those bad defeats now, you know. Now, that has turned a bit since, because as we've seen with the back door and different things, you know, that it's not as much winner takes all now.
Did you feel the team was in its prime in 1990? I mean, can you maybe explain to us, like, having won the All-Ireland and finally got there, is that a bit of a release? Is there a bit of a weight off your shoulders and maybe you can go and express yourself a bit better as a footballer and as a team then?
I think there was a lot of that to it as well. And I think fellas matured over the years also. You know what I mean? We certainly had matured as well. But certainly having won an All-Ireland, it took a little bit of weight off your shoulders. However, because of the 87-88, there was still that neat thing, you know, that we had to get one more crack off of Meath. Because, no, I'm not saying we felt that we were hard done by or we were, you know, but, you know, they were, for a better word, the enemy at the time, you know what I mean? And maybe enemy is too strong a word to use or whatever, but like they were the ultimate.
Yeah, I suppose it's the natural thing in sport, you know. If you lose to a team in a couple of finals, if you don't end up beating them in a final, it'll always be kind of said back to you, and it'll always be the doubt maybe cast over your side.
Absolutely, there's no doubt about it. And I suppose what made it more sweet was the fact that the hurlers had won 2 weeks previous. Now, the hurlers that year had come out of nowhere. I think they had an absolute stink league run, and there was huge concerns about Cork hurling. But like, that's Cork hurling. They can, you know, they've done it over the years that they've come out of nowhere. And as I say, shot the lights out and kind of, you know, the footballers have never been you know, able to do that. And like, you know, you look back over the years, like, we all love our football in Cork. We're never a long way off it. But, like, we're not the standard bearers to the Dublins and the Kerrys and the, you know what I mean? We're down the pecking order when it comes to that, when it comes to kind of having won All-Irelands.
The 2 weeks between the hurling and football final, I've read before that you've said this was probably the last thing you needed because you had enough on your plate having to get ready for Mead without this maybe extra distraction, and obviously the hype must have increased. What was the mood like around the city and county, can you remember, in that build-up to the game?
Genuinely, as footballers and with Meath in our sights and all of the hurlers come out of nowhere, and the next thing you're meeting most of the public and it's all on about the double leg. And like, you know, for us, the last thing we wanted to hear was a double. We just wanted to win an All-Ireland for us and beat Meath. So there was definitely a little bit of added pressure, plus the fact that, you know, the Burlington Sunday morning, the All-Ireland, you know, we'd all go to mass together and there'd be a room booked, and you know, in the Burlington, the whole team, management, county board officials and everything would go, you know, we'd have mass in the Burlington, and like that morning all of a sudden the cannon appears. Like, he had come out of nowhere, and 2 weeks previous had won an All-Ireland, and now he was kind of all of a sudden saying mass, and addressing the team afterwards, and like the cannon was a man with a lot of authority and what have you, and I can remember saying, oh Jesus, like this was the last thing we needed, you know, like was you know, the cannon was up on a pedestal now at this stage. We still had our job to do. You know, little things like that, you know, definitely kind of brought its own little bits of pressure.
But then you go and win the game, despite obviously the loss of Colm O'Neill, and you finally defeated Meath. I mean, I guess the modern example maybe that people, our listeners might be able to refer to is probably the Kerry team, you know, trying to beat Tyrone in a final, and they didn't manage to do it. Now, I think they did obviously beat them in a qualifier in 2012, but can you remember what was the feeling afterwards in 90? Was it just pure satisfaction, maybe in comparison to the big joy maybe of 89 in terms of the breakthrough?
I think at that stage that we had actually prepared, in fairness to Billy, had us prepared so well that year. I think it was very few of us weren't expecting to win. You know, everything was right. We didn't have, you know, other years we'd have had injuries, different things. Everything just went right for us that year, Fintan, with injuries, you know, different things. We had left no, the management had left no stone unturned when it came to preparation. I think after the, you know, when the final whistle went, I think it was just like sense of satisfaction. More than anything, and I think it wasn't about this All-Ireland medal or this Cork winning a double or anything. It was that we had actually beaten Meath at the time, you know. And no disrespect to Meath, like they were the standard bearers. Then they, you know, they'd won in 87, they'd won in 88, they'd failed to come out of Leinster, in, as I say, in 89. And so having the likelihood is, I think if they came out of Leinster, I think the likelihood is we would have been facing them in 89 as well.
You've mentioned the role of Billy Morgan in 1990. Let's talk about maybe his general, I suppose, legacy. I mean, you've worked closely with him. Can you maybe assess and give a sense for us, like, the impact the man has had on Cork football? I mean, he's been associated with so many different teams in various roles down through the years, and so many of the kind of county's football successes.
I suppose my first introduction to Billy was in late 86. We had Dennis Collin was the manager in 85 and 86. And we were actually nudging quite close to Kerry. You know, we weren't being beaten by double scores, or we, you know, I think in 86 we were beaten by 5 or 6 points. And we hit the crossbar on one end and the ball rebounded back out the field 30 yards. And on the other end, they hit the crossbar And then the baller bounding back out, Bomber Liston got his hand to it and pushed it back into the net. You know what I mean? They were better than us, but there was little fine margins as well that made a difference. And I think then in late 86, Billy came back from the States. I had, outside of I knew Billy and everything, I had no experience of working with him up to then. And in fairness, he got involved in late 86 and brought a whole new dynamic or whatever to the whole thing. And then I suppose if you turn into kind of early 87 before the championship, you had Shea Fahey had come from Kildare, Larry came back from the States, or came from Kildare via the States and back and played with us, and this added something as well. But I suppose in fairness, like over the years, Billy has been synonymous with Cork football, be it county, be it club, be it colleges, you know, All-Ireland clubs, winning All-Irelands with Cork, winning Sigerson's with UCC, you know what I mean? That whole thing speaks for itself. So, like, that was putting us in a better place. Having Billy at the helm, and in fairness, he had very good management with him as well, be it selectors and what have you. And I suppose we would have come through, I would have come through that kind of early 80s with minor. We won an All-Ireland minor in 81. 84, we won an under 21. And of that time, in that kind of early to middle 80s, I think Cork had five or six under 21s. All-Irelands, where Bob Honan would have been at the helm. And then Bob would have joined Billy as a part of the senior management as well. So, like, we had all that knowledge, you know, looking after us or in charge of us or whatever. But, like, you go back then, it was Billy and his four selectors and Dr. Khan, maybe a liaison officer from the board or whatever. You know, you had Dan Hoare was the treasurer at the time. You know what I mean? Frank was either a selector or he was secretary all the time. And you look at it now and you see you have the manager, he has a coach, he has a forwards coach, a back coach, backs coach. There's probably 30 fellas involved, you know what I mean? Whereas you go back then, there was an awful lot more on that manager.
So you mentioned, I suppose, Billy's legacy and his input and, you know, the impact that he had from the sideline. What about the addition on the pitch then? Like you touched on it there when you talked about, I suppose, Shea Fahey, who scored 4 points in the final against Meath, and most of all, Larry Tompkins, who you would have a greater insight than most. I mean, the previous year, your club, Castlehaven, won the county for the first time. He's the captain then in 1990. Like, can you sum up what he brought to you to, I suppose, give you that kind of extra dimension on the pitch?
Larry was an exceptional, to his credit, came. He was driven. You couldn't say Larry arrived in Cork and it was his love of Cork. Larry was driven for himself. And as a result of that, we all kind of, you know, we bought into this thing. You know, he was exceptionally driven to be successful in sport. And it just happened it was GAA, and it just happened that we were now playing with Cork, you know. Like, Shea came. Like, these fellas, again, you get two players of their caliber. And I suppose, how would I put it? Two guys with very different personalities now, don't get me wrong, but of their caliber. And like, Shea was a cadet, or he was gone beyond his cadet, being a cadet at this stage in the army. So again, he was coming with a very disciplined approach, you know what I mean? And the dynamic of Larry's, I suppose, the way he was driven to make himself better than everyone else. And you get these two guys and you add them in there, and you then add Billy, that had been there 6 months or 7 months at this stage. That elevated us then to another level again. But in saying all that, I think in 87, it still took us a replay to beat Kerry in a Munster final. I think we drew with them down in Páirc Cliath, having been, I'd say, 2 points up, coming into injury time, conceded a goal, and John Cairns had the wisdom to take a quick free out. Ball ended up with Larry. We ended up with a draw, and then, you know what I mean? I think we had the belief then that we went to Killarney, and we were, you know, we were well comfortable the same day in Killarney in the replay.
You mentioned John Cairns there. I mean, obviously, this is a very special group of players with what you achieved. But I suppose the sad thing is that afterwards you've gathered twice on really, really tragic occasions with the passing of John and the passing of Mick McCarthy. I mean, you knew both of them well. I've read you say in Adrian Russell's book, The Double, you know, about kind of the crack you used to have with Mick McCarthy and the West Cork crew coming up to training. They're lovely memories to have with the journeys that you shared with those guys.
We had been all there kind of from... A lot of us had been there kind of from 83, 84 on. 84 in particular, that there was, you know, a lot of us were coming in into that setup. And 85, 86 brought more. And then we had the biggest part of nearly a decade that for most, these fellas were nearly your family. We trained her 3 or 4 times a week. You know, all and these two guys and the rest of them, like that time a panel was, I think our panel that time was probably 26, 24 taking the games. So like it wasn't 34, 38 or 40 like they have nowadays. So you had more to do with these guys at the time than what you nearly did with your own families. And it went on for years. And it was just marvellous. I would like to think we were all great friends. Now we'd play in a club game and we could be back here at one another or whatever. But like most fellas looked out for one another. Lord of Mercy and Mick was a gas man. There's no doubt about it. There was always something kind of funny happening around her. There was some funny statement or there was, you know. And like John then was kind of quite spoken. Sound man, you know what I mean? They talk nowadays about, we'd say, the Dublin goalie, Cluxton. Like, John Cairns was ahead of his time. Like, that man had the kick out perfected 30, 35 years ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. It's lovely memories to have of two of your teammates. Nell, what do you think is the impact of the double, or what do you think the legacy is for Cork GAA of that 1990 season?
I suppose I genuinely feel it will never again be achieved. I think the Teddy McCarthy's and the Dennis Walsh's of this world will never again happen anyway. Outside of achieving a double, all we can do now is look back and it was marvellous. There's no doubt about it.
Well, it's great to be able to reflect on it, and we really do appreciate you taking the time today to join us. Nick Allan, thanks a million for your time.
Fans, the subs wait. The double has been achieved. It's Cork's All Ireland. It's Cork's year. The double in hurling and the double in football. In 1890, it was 2 club sides, but now a county selection has achieved this remarkable feat. Cork's first victory in the All Ireland over Meath and the county's 6th victory in all. The day and the month of September belongs to the red and white. The Sam Maguire has been retained by the champions.
So that was Nell Callahan joining us on this week's episode of the Warriors podcast. Now, that fundraiser we were talking about at the start is in aid of Marymount Hospice, and it's entitled Go Red for Cork on Wednesday, the 16th of September, to mark the 30th anniversary of Cork winning the double. If you want to donate, you can go to www.idonate.ie/Go Red for Cork. So thanks a million to Niall for his time and contribution. Of course, if you want to read more about the double, Adrian Russell of this parish literally wrote the book on it, The Double, How Cork Made GAA History. And there's also the recently released Larry Tompkins autobiography, Believe, if you want to get more on the life and times of Cork's captain from that 1990 football win. Thanks a million, as always, to you, the 42 members, for your continued support and for listening in. Thanks to our producer, Kevin Branigan, for all his work on this episode. We'll be back next week with another great guest. Until then, take care.
They compare Tyrone to the British Army. Once we crossed the border, we had no power. I think we've a bit of power now.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.